On Wednesday evenings, we've been taking a look at the point that there is a reward for the children of God. There is a reward indeed for everybody, but not to the positive for those that are not saved. But for the children of God, there is a reward, and our reward is with our Lord. We took a look last time in the book of Luke and how there the Lord Jesus used the example of a good man, a master, with those that were his and that were under his leadership and under his kingdom. Here, he went away to get a kingdom for himself, and he left them with a charge and with provision and with directive on what to do. Occupy till I come. And how the Lord said there that the reckoning with those that had been obedient to the master and had taken what he had given them, it was reckoned, pardon me, all of them, each one different, none in comparison one to another, but just gauge in their faithfulness and what the Lord had given them. And he mentioned there that you've been faithful over little, I'm going to make you ruler over so many cities. And so we contemplated about that and considered about that and how and when that could be. And certainly in the millennial reign or in the eternal kingdom, if it is to be, that would be the time that it would be. And so the economy and the working of the Lord is just way different than you and I think. He is looking for faithfulness in the least of things. And in that, there will be, and the thing is we should be faithful in the least of what the Lord has bestowed upon us and given us. Even that, at the minimal standpoint, our lives, we should be faithful and use those for His honor and His glory. But and He's do that, but there is a reward with Him. He's made it clear there is a reward too. And we're going to see some other words that are used here in our look-see tonight. And we're just marching through the Scriptures, trying to be exhaustive about it, that we might know and be reassured about this. So many of these passages, when we're studying other subjects, we might just glance over this aspect. So our focus in these messages are on the reward promised by our Lord. It is, our reward is with our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here recently we've gone through 1 Corinthians in our Sunday afternoon study of this epistle. And so we just don't want to go over everything that we looked at here. But let's back up. Let's go in 1 Corinthians 3 to verse number 8. And be reminded here about how the Lord says it works with us. Church context, church at Corinth, saved children of God in His church in the work that He has for us. The apostle here is speaking, and he's speaking about himself, but conveying a principle, indeed, that applies to all. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one in this working of the Lord. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there we have it. There is a labor to be done. There's planting. There is watering of the Word of God. There is witness and testimony of the Lord and what He's done for us. There's that overall work of the church. There's that work of the minister, and there's that work of the children of God. Not a one of us are out of this or excused from this. So this is a blessing that we've been called to, not a curse. It is a blessing that we can represent the Lord and be His ambassador. So each one of us, each man, each person, each man and woman shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So, as we've taken a look recently in the second epistle to the church at Corinth, how is our savor? How is our savor to the Lord? That smell that goes up, the picture is the giving of a sacrifice and that which would go up to the Lord. How is our savor unto the Lord? How is our savor before men? What is it that they see? What is it that they hear? We will be rewarded for our labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. It's His, Brother Stephen has taught on that in recent times about the means of salvation, the gospel going out, and then how it's carried by the Lord's children, by His churches in particular. And churches are not buildings, but they're made up of people, right? And so we carry the word of God forward. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. How are we building? And he's going to tell us something here about foundations, and that's the foundation that at Olmsted Baptist Church that we look to lay. That's the foundation that we look to lay with anybody that we meet, isn't it? Is that they need Christ first. Let's read on. I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the starting point, isn't he? Now, if any man build on this foundation, the Lord Jesus, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and we've taken a look at that. The point is there's labor in building, isn't there? There's labor in building. And, you know, one of the houses that we build in this life is the house of the Lord's church. How are we building here? We're building, you and I, members of Olmsted Baptist Church, we are building here. We are being built here. It's all there together, rolled up in the Lord's work and what He's given us to do and what we pursue. How are we building? With godly building material, with the Lord's building material, or with that which makes sense to us? Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, it'll be shown, it'll be revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There's that work again. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So indeed it's speaking about the children of God. We're secure in Christ, and even if one would arrive there in glory and before the judgment seat of Christ and have nothing but their salvation, they're saved. They are the Lord's because of what Jesus has done for them. But if we have time to work and we have knowledge about work, may the Lord help us that we would work for the sake of our Lord. And there is a reward for it. The Lord is due our labor and our service. He is due that. We know that because of who He is. But the Lord's design is yet that there is a reward. And we're told about it. And we need to know about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 1, we read here quickly, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? Again, the apostle so much in these epistles under the church at Corinth is looking to give them understanding that he has responsibility towards them and a calling towards them to help them in the things that are lacking. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Yet you being saved is a testimony of the Lord's working in me and in you. Mine answer to them that do examine me in this, have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? He's making a comparison there about others. He said he has the privilege and the right to have a wife and that, but he's laid those things down seemingly for the sake of the Lord. Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? He said in the ministry, we could have backed off about working. We know the testimony of Brother Paul is that he made tents and continued to do that and even did that in Corinth for a reason that will be explained here. Who goeth to warfare any time as his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? for our sakes, no doubt, not only for the sake of the cattle, the beast that works, but it's a principle of God that there is a reward. There is a requiting from the Lord. He is not a taskmaster. And God gets a bad rap, doesn't he? Our Lord so in so many ways gets a bad rap as an old crotchety, gray-haired, not satisfied with any kind of God. He's holy and he's righteous, but I tell you what, he's just as merciful, gracious, and compassionate. And he is good. He is good. He loves his children better than you and I could ever think to love our children. He says, does he tell about oxen just for their sakes? No, he says it altogether, or saith he it altogether for our sakes. Verse 10, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And he's talking about provision, daily provision for the minister of God. If others be partaker of this power over you, which they seem that they had done so, are not we rather? He being the first one that was sent and was there to open up and bring the word of God afresh and anew unto them. Nevertheless, we have not used this power. He said, we didn't take it. We didn't want it. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. It would be misunderstood, he says. Verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? He even goes back to that of the priests and that which was given to the Levites and such. And they that wait on the altar are partakers with the altar. You know that even from the Old Testament. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. And so he said, it is so that the minister of God, the ministers of the Lord, should partake of the ministry for their sustenance. He said, I didn't, but that is the order of God. And he did so out of charity and out of love to those that he ministered to. Okay? But he lays a foundation even for times and years and churches and the people of God ahead. Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, it's my calling. It's my calling, whether I'm supported or not. Verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And that's what we should do, is we should serve willingly and obey willingly. There's a reward for that. You know what? There's an immediate reward of joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We hear the Lord. We see the servant attitude of the Lord. We follow him in that. We seek to be used of him, to be a blessing, a witness of Christ unto others, unto a lost and dying world, a solace and a help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a reward even immediately in knowing that we've been in the will of the Lord. We've represented our Lord well. But you know what? There's a reward to come too. Now, and to come. And we saw that last time, that sometimes the Lord gives reward even now and in this life. You and I would call it blessing. Blessing of obedience. It's just a thing that cannot be bought. It cannot be found in the world. It can only be given and brought to pass by our Lord as we obey Him. He says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But we need reminded, as we talked about servant, being a servant on Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, and how the disciples, they wanted to feel better about their service, but the Lord reminded them, servants are not thanked for what they do. Oh, thank you, servant, for bringing me the meal. The Lord said, the servant goes and works in the field all day, and then comes home and fixes supper for the master and sets it before the master, and the master doesn't say, well, thank you. Thank you for all your service and your servanthood. Now, that's good manners, but he says the way it is servant is the servant. He said, does the master thank him? I don't think so, because he's the servant. So don't look to feel good, just obey. Obey with a glad heart that we have a calling. You know, let's contrast that. What is the calling of the unsaved? What is the calling of the unsaved? Indeed, they are like a ship without a rudder on an open sea. The only calling that is at hand is that of self in the world. Those that have been saved, we've got a reason for living. And we've got a hope in living. And we've got a direction in living. And we've got help in living for our Lord. He says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, and that is the old man, not the new, a dispensation, a stewardship, a responsibility of the gospel is committed unto me. May the Lord help us that we be on the willing side, amen, and not on the duty side. We still got a duty. None of us can shirk the duty. We cannot, and that's what he's saying there. If I do it against my will, as that wrangling with the old man, a duty, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. Verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. He says, I have been convicted to take and not use that, not avail myself of that, of the man of God being supported by the ministry, that I may make it free, made it free unto you. Particularly in Corinth, he said, and that is a reward that I have. And he's speaking about one of these rewards now, to be used of the Lord. He gave not only life, but when he saw that he could give more, he gave more. And that's what I see in that. Verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And that's what he said, that I might gain the more. He said, I've made myself servant to all. He said, I'm going at it from the standpoint that I owe mankind to tell it. And as he goes on to say in these epistles, that he says he wants to know no man after the flesh, but only after the spiritual thing, because it's his greatest concern. And may the Lord help us that our hearts would be bent that way, the desire for the souls of men. In Colossians chapter 2, the apostle preaching, writing here to the church at Colossae, he writes this in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse number 18. We'll just jump here into the thought. Let no man beguile, that means trick you, of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. If we take and we break down these characteristics here, I know of a brother or a man years and years ago that went over to Europe to be a missionary. And I think it was either Italy or France that he went to. And the brother went there, and he went in to study and to take a look at the artifacts, take a look at the writings of the universal church that is there and found in that land so prevalently and is so prevalent there. And you know what? He recanted on being a Baptist. He backed up on being a Baptist. He backed up on salvation by grace through faith. And he bought hook, line, and sinker the whole universal way. Listen to this. Let no man trick you of your reward in a voluntary humility. It's a feigned thing. It's a put-on thing. Because, see, looking on at this description of these, worshiping of angels and others, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, trying to delve into the scripture that's spiritually discerned and spiritually applied with no spirit at all at hand. The religious world is full of them, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Indeed, we look across the religious world today and we see those, and we can see those, and we have to watch it. Always, mankind is just bent this way, but we see those that are very impressed by their humility. We see whole religious groups and different things that they do and pursue, contrary to the Word of God outright, that are so very proud in the grandeur that they've achieved, and in their own piety, they find themselves very, very proud. So don't be beguiled by that. Don't be tricked by that. Because you know what? A man, a woman can lose their reward. And let us not lose our reward. Let us hear what our Lord says unto us. What's he say? Go on to say about these. And not holding the head, capital H. This is the aspect that gives it away. Who is the one that we serve? Who is the one to whom we pray? Who is the one that we worship? Who is the one that we follow? Who is our all in all? The head, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? These others will say, well, we've got a head here on earth, and he speaks for him. And then we've got her, and we've got him, and we've got another one over here. And you know, these over here, we venerate very much. We've got to listen to them too. And you know what? This thing never changes, but daily, weekly, they find that over generations, generation to generation, they change and they change and they change and they change. Because why? They don't regard the head. They don't regard Jesus and his all sufficiency, not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Tell you what, you get a people get off of who Christ is and the way that the Lord has ordained about following him, and that he is the head of his churches. And you know what? You can go down a wrong, terrible, wicked, bad path. And hence all the other quote-unquote religions and denominations that there are today. Not holding the head, but finding another way. People are beguiled out of their reward. They are. And so we're warned about that here by the Lord in Colossians. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, as is was referred to there in 1 Corinthians 9, the apostle writing to the young pastor, in verse number 17, he says here, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." And here's the principle. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Those who work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, as the song declares. Those who labor, he will reward. He will reward. He's promised that he will do it. Do we need a reward? I tell you what, we're going to be so wealthy in glory, and it's just not even going to matter because we're with our Lord. But you know what? The Lord's not going to even let that even slip. It's his good pleasure to give us, his children, the kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 10, again, we've made mention of this passage here recently in different aspects. And in chapter 10, as we took a look here about the connection of the Lord's chastisement of his children while we live here, and then that ultimate judgment that we stand before him, when we stand before him, and how that will be. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 34, "For you had compassion of me in my bonds," and this is a passive portion that smacks of the Apostle Paul, "and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance." So there's a substance. There is an inheritance, as we've seen. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." And that's speaking about boldness and outspokenness, "which hath great recompense of reward." Now and then. When we take a look, the Greek word is "great recompense of reward." It takes all those English words to spell out or try to translate to us the Greek word that is there. And you know what it's talking about? Requital. Requital. Paying back. Paying back. And the thing is, we're not in a deal with the Lord, but we've seen enough that he is going to reward his children. He's going to do it. And he's going to reward us for faithfulness. And we need to be faithful and obedient to him indeed and always. May the Lord help us in that. And then here in Hebrews 11, in this honor roll of faith, we see this in verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him," that is God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And that's what the Scripture says. That's what the Lord says. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. "Seek the Lord while he may be found," the Scripture says. "Draw nigh to him while he is near." We as the children of God need to do so, and you that are here and not saved, you need the Lord too, because there's coming a time that he won't be near to draw unto. And then here in Hebrews 11, this about Moses, brother Moses. We read in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward," the requital. He said, the riches of Egypt, or the burden, the reproach of Christ, this is better. This is better, he said, and was convinced of by the Lord. He saw that that was the way to go. And the thing is, what did Moses own all of his life? You think about that. What did Moses ever have? He never had land. He had a tent, I'm sure. Had a family. But I tell you what, he saw that the Lord was everything, and he desired closer and closer fellowship with the Lord as he walked before him, didn't he? And then here, towards the end of the Bible, in 2 John, the epistle of 2 John, we have this that the brother writes, and Brother Stephen tied in a 1 John and the Gospel of John in just a wonderful way this past Sunday, and I encourage you, listen to those. Those lessons will be made available. So thankful for that, the way the Lord's blessed him in that. In 2 John, chapter 2 John verse number 8, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Don't lose ground. strive to be obedient and obey the Lord and seek His help and seek His blessing to receive a full reward. See, the thing is the reward before the Lord will abound to His honor and glory yet even again. As we see those elders there, and many songs that speak about that, where the elders that are there before the Lord, the 24 elders, they're wearing their crowns, made kings by God, cast their crowns before the Lord much and often. Their reward is a praise and an honor and glory for the Lord. Well, our reward will not be to hoard to ourselves, but yet to honor and glorify God with it. There is a reward, and may the Lord help us that we know that and follow the Lord in it. And then lastly, in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 18, this tells the same thing that you and I read earlier over here in I'm going to read this to you, and let's compare this. In Matthew 16:27, the Lord Jesus says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to his works." Revelation 11:18, we read here, "And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Tell you what, rings of the same thing that Jesus said, didn't it? There come a time where He will come to give reward to His servants, to His prophets, saints, and those that fear His name, small and great. And then lastly, in Revelation 22, I meant lastly before, this being the last book. Okay? I wasn't lying to you. In Revelation 22, verse 12, "Behold, and behold, I come quickly." What's He say? "And My reward is with Me." "To give every man according to his work shall be." Tell you what, child of God, you need any other motivation than to obey and serve and walk with and be in tune with and seek and desire the Lord? He said His reward is with Him, and He'll give every man according to his work shall be. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So reward. A reward indeed from our Lord. Our reward is with our Lord. Lord willing, next time we're going to take a quick look at another aspect of rewards, and this of crowns. The Bible says some things about crowns, and we need to know that. It's along this line of reward, and then from there we'll move on to that which is next.